This evening, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And Brother Mark, it's always hard to prepare for a message on Mother's Day evening and Father's Day evening because you don't know how much time you're going to have and how many men are going to show up, how many ladies are going to show up to pick favorites. And I think on Mother's Day, I had about 11 minutes and tonight I got almost a full time slot. Amen. Praise the Lord. Except that means we need more men. Amen. And praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, the Apostle Paul, of course, is writing to a church here, the church at Corinth. And if you know anything about the Bible, you know that the church of Corinth is not a model church. The church in Corinth had many issues. In fact, we understand as you begin reading the book of 1 Corinthians that the church was carnal. The church was spiritually immature. And we find that the Apostle Paul, there were times in which he even said that he desired to share things with them, but they were not capable of receiving those things because they were spiritually immature. Now, we understand that as the people of God, that God's design and God's plan is that we would grow spiritually, that we would come to that place of spiritual maturity. It's not a situation in which we will arrive one day, for we constantly seek to draw closer and closer to our Savior. But we understand that this church was having some difficulties, and there was divisions and schisms and all sorts of things that were taking place. And I would say, understanding the culture there in the church at Corinth, that this church was in need of encouragement, but they were also in need of instruction. We could also say they were in need of correction. And the Apostle Paul provides, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, in the book of 1 Corinthians, all of those things. He corrects them about some things. He gives them instruction about some things. He provides them some encouragement. And I'm thankful that for each of us, as we open the Bible, as we open the Word of God, that God is able to take this Word that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. He's able to take this Word that is alive, that is profitable, and He's able to provide you and me with encouragement, with instruction, with correction. It's amazing as we open the Bible and God will meet the very needs of His people through His precious Word. And I'm so thankful that God has given to us a Bible. Now, this church in Corinth here, they did not have a full Bible like we have. In fact, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, you'll read there specifically how God is talking about the fact that the Bible has not yet been complete. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. And he's talking about the full canon of Scripture there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And so we find that this church, they were not able to, like we are, just go and grab their full Bible and read and be instructed and encouraged and corrected. But we find that the Apostle Paul, God would use him to meet the needs of this particular church. And I'm thankful that the Apostle Paul was a man that was faithful. He was a man that was willing to do what God had called him to do. He was surrendered to the will of God. We find that after his conversion, it seems quite obvious as you study through the New Testament that the Apostle Paul had that recognition that I am crucified with Christ. He declares that in Galatians 2 in verse number 20, and he lived that way. And he was willing to follow the Lord and surrender to his will for his life. And I'm so thankful for the example. As we come to verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, and it's just a single verse of Scripture that we're going to look at this evening, but notice what the Bible says as Paul again is writing to this church. He says to these individuals, to these believers, we know that a church is made up of born-again, baptized believers. And the Bible says that he's writing to them and says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." As we begin to think about that word example, and he says here, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And I've titled the message this evening, "An Example Worth Following." An example worth following. You know, there's some bad examples out there. In fact, in many arenas of life this evening, if people were to talk about their heroes or their mentors, those individuals that they would look up to, many of them are poor examples. We find that the Bible, the Apostle Paul says, be followers of me, and even as I also am of Christ. We're going to think about that idea of an example and being an example worth following. What is an example? It's a pattern. We think about it this way. It is that which is proposed, notice this, to be imitated, to be imitated. Now, I want you to think about it in that context. How comfortable are you if people imitate your behavior? Amen? If they imitate exactly what you do and how you do, and by the way, kids are good at that, aren't they? Amen. You think about Father's Day today, and you think about children. Children are watching. They're watching even when you don't know that they're watching. They're listening when you don't know that they're listening. And all of a sudden, you hear children doing something, saying something. You observe their behavior, and you say, man, that looks a lot like their example, their parent, whomever that might be. Sometimes your children could imitate your behavior, and it could be an embarrassment. Amen. And then the parent says, where did you learn that? And everybody else in the room knows exactly where they learned that. You know what I'm saying? And what I'm saying this evening is the Apostle Paul, he was an example worth following, that which is proposed to be imitated. So I want you to notice, as we look at this verse of Scripture this evening, I want you to notice just a couple of thoughts. Number one, notice what Paul revealed. Notice in the text of Scripture, Paul revealed something about himself. Before we look here, and oftentimes I think the focus of this particular verse of Scripture is about Paul saying to those believers in Corinth, follow me. And he does say that, but I believe that he reveals something that is absolutely imperative for us to understand this evening. And what it is that he revealed to us is at the end of the verse, he says, even as I also am of Christ. What is Paul revealing to us? Well, he was revealing to us that he was a follower of Jesus Christ. That the Apostle Paul had determined in his life that I'm going to follow Jesus. We sing songs about following. We sing songs. There's a song that's very familiar, that little chorus that we sing with children in Sunday school and junior church. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back, right? Though none go with me, still I will follow. The world behind me, the cross before me. And we sing that wonderful song and we're reminded about that decision of following the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, during the ministry, the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said to those disciples many times, you begin to think about the call to ministry, he would simply say this, follow me. Follow me. And straightway, immediately, they left their nets and they followed Jesus. And you begin to think about that wonderful example of the Apostle Paul here, but he's revealing the fact that he himself was a follower of Jesus Christ. A follower is one who takes another as his guide. Notice this, in doctrines, opinions, or examples. Notice it carries with it this idea, the definition of follower is one who imitates the example of another. He says, be followers of me, but then he says, even as I also am of Christ. The Apostle Paul was following the Lord Jesus Christ. You begin to look at his life and you begin to study throughout the pages of the New Testament. You trace the steps of the Apostle Paul and you find that he's a man that was surrendered and yielded. And he said, I want to follow Jesus. Begin to look at this thought of following Jesus and understanding that we each have been called to be followers of Jesus Christ. We're to be followers of Jesus Christ as Christians, disciples. We find that before they were called Christians in Antioch, they were called disciples. And as disciples, we're to be followers of Jesus Christ. And I wonder this evening, you ever see that little bumper sticker? Do you follow Jesus this close? You ever see that one? And they're trying to say, get off my bumper, really is what they're trying to communicate to you. But listen, we ought to be following Jesus. We're to be followers of Jesus Christ. Look over to the book of 1 Peter, if you will. And understand that Peter is writing here in 1 Peter chapter number 2 under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. But we find that Peter is writing, and as Peter is writing here and instructing these particular believers that are dealing with great difficulty and they're facing great levels of persecution and trials and testings and all that's going on in their lives. And we find that Peter will remind them of something extremely important in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 21. Notice what the Bible says here in this verse of Scripture. The Bible says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us," notice what it says, "leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." There's no greater example than the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that he is God in flesh. We understand that he lived and died. He lived a perfect life. We read in Acts chapter number 1. In fact, if you want to look there and see what it says there in Acts chapter number 1 about the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that he left us an example that we should follow his steps. Studying through the Gospels is fascinating. You have the opportunity as you go through the gospel records of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to trace the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry, to understand how he always moved and worked with purpose and on purpose. And we find that here in Acts chapter number 1, as the writer begins to make his introduction, it says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus," notice, "of all that Jesus began," notice what it says, "both to do and teach." To do and teach. And we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us in the book of John, in the 8th chapter, that he always did that which pleased the Father. We understand as we begin to look through, he says that at the end of verse number 29, "For I do always those things that please him." Wow, what a great testimony. We know that he's God in flesh. We know that he is the Messiah. He is our Savior. But I notice in this verse of Scripture, as the Apostle Paul is writing to these believers at Corinth, and he's desiring to help them again, to provide them with the instruction, to provide them with the encouragement, to give them some leadership. He says to these believers there at Corinth, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." I want you to understand that he revealed to those believers there in Corinth, and he's revealed to us this evening as we read this single verse of Scripture, that Paul had made a decision. "I'm going to follow Jesus. I am a follower of Jesus Christ." What does it mean to follow him? Well, we read in Mark chapter number 8, the Bible gives us some clarity there as Jesus is speaking. And as he's speaking to those that are gathered at the end of Mark chapter number 8, we find that Jesus begins to provide some instruction with what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Listen, it's a lot more than just wearing a t-shirt that says I'm a follower of Jesus. It's a lot more than wearing a hat that says I'm following Jesus. It's a lot more than wearing a bracelet, a wristband, some sort of paraphernalia, putting a bumper sticker on a car. It's a whole lot more than that. In Mark chapter number 8, the Bible says in verse 34, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." I'm going to draw your attention again to the end of verse number 34. Jesus says, "Whosoever will come after me." Notice there's an order here. The Bible says, let him, number one, deny himself. Do you know that's a very difficult thing for us to do as human beings? By nature, we're selfish people. Isn't that true? We're selfish people. So he says, let him deny himself, number one. Number two, and take up his cross. And number three, follow me. I believe this evening that one of the great difficulties that we have here in 21st century Christianity with following Jesus is we're trying to do number three without doing number one and two. What am I saying? We're trying to say, I'm following Jesus, but I've not denied myself and I've not taken up my cross. See, the Apostle Paul is able to say here as he's writing to the believers in Corinth that he's a follower of Jesus Christ. And begin to think about Paul making this declaration in Galatians chapter 2. Again, if we keep in mind what we've just read there in Mark chapter number 8 and verse number 34, look at Galatians chapter number 2, if you will, with me. And in Galatians chapter number 2, we find this declaration of the Apostle Paul. And what powerful declaration this is with regard to his own personal testimony. See, he's a follower of Jesus. He says that they're to be followers of him, but he says, even also as I am of Christ, he's following Jesus. In Galatians 2 and verse number 20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, if you want to turn there quickly, and notice what Paul says there. Again, I believe his own personal testimony is in view here in chapter number 5 of 2 Corinthians in verse number 14. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, verse 17, familiar verse of Scripture, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Apostle Paul would challenge those that he was writing to, whether they're churches or individuals, to take up their cross and follow Jesus, to be followers of Jesus Christ. To this immature church in Corinth, Paul is going to give to them this instruction. He says again in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse number 1, be followers of me even as I also am of Christ. And so we see, first of all, what was revealed, that Paul says, I'm following Jesus. I don't think it's a prideful thing. Amen? It's not a prideful thing to say, I'm following Jesus. But I want you to understand, to be a disciple of his and to say, I'm following Jesus, you better deny yourself and take up your cross and then follow him. And we find that as we get into the Bible and we begin to take and apply truth in our lives, that we would yield to Christ. Why? Because we've made a determination. We're going to be followers of Jesus Christ. We're going to follow him. Not only do we see what was revealed, but we notice number two, if you're taking notes, notice what Paul requested. What Paul requested, we see it plainly in the beginning of the verse, be followers of me. Be followers of me. I want you to think about this just for a moment this evening as we consider this single verse of Scripture, and really a familiar verse, maybe one that we've quoted at various times, and we see this idea, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul is not saying just follow me. He's saying, listen, I'm following Jesus, and so therefore you can be followers of me. Why? Because I'm trying to establish, I'm trying to demonstrate for you an example that is worth following. The Apostle Paul would live and he would minister amongst the people, and they would see his behavior. And Paul has this idea as he's communicating to these individuals, listen, I'm following Jesus and I want you to be followers of me. Why? Because I'm following Jesus. Now, ultimately, what's he trying to do? He's trying to get people to follow Jesus. And that's what our goal is. That's what our desire is, that people would walk with Christ, that they would follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Begin to think about the idea that Paul is saying here, be followers of me. And I really think about this, and you think about the invitation really that's been extended to these believers at Corinth to do something, and that's this, to observe his behavior. Think about that. Think about the gravity of the situation for you to say to somebody else, for Paul to say to this church, hey, listen, I want you to follow me. So what's he saying? Well, he's really giving them an invitation. He's not only an invitation, but encouraging them to observe and to examine what he does. That's pretty serious. That's pretty weighty. To think about Paul saying to these believers in Corinth, saying, hey, I want you to follow me. So if I'm going to follow you, you ever play Simon Says? You ever play that game? And what is it? You're supposed to follow what Simon says, right? You ever play follow the leader? You're going to follow. And guess what you got to do? You have your eyes locked on the individual. Listen, if you're playing Simon Says and you're also playing on your game, you're not going to last real long if you're playing on your phone. You understand what I'm saying? You're not paying attention. And you got to lock in and you got to be focused. And we begin to think about this idea that the Apostle Paul, in saying to these believers in Corinth, hey, be followers of me, he's giving them an invitation. He is encouraging them to observe him, to watch him, and to follow him. Now, you better make sure you're following Jesus real close before you tell somebody else to follow you. Am I right? I mean, listen, it's pretty serious. It's pretty serious. You ever have a situation where somebody says, hey, I'm going to follow you. You get in a car. Hey, I'm going to follow. Look, following people around here is dangerous. Amen. I do not like being the lead car around here because there's too many people that want to sneak in and they want to get in between and they want to. I'm not going to tell somebody, hey, follow me to that place if I'm not real sure where that place is, right? I better make sure I'm absolutely certain where I'm going before I tell that person, hey, just follow me. Because if they follow me, have you ever led somebody to the wrong place? I've heard stories before. I don't want to be the guy doing that. I don't want to be the guy leading somebody and say, I thought we were going to, yeah, it's around here somewhere. I know it's just another, no. You want to know where you're going, right? So Paul offers to these believers in Corinth in giving to them this invitation. He's really encouraging them and inviting them to observe his own behavior. Now think about that. You know what Paul's doing? He's really putting himself under the microscope. Think about that. Paul is saying, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Man, that's a weighty truth that we see here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. As I begin to prepare the message for this evening, and as I was really just, as God brought me to this single verse of Scripture, and I was just really praying and meditating on this thought, I'm thinking, man, this is, I've quoted the verse many times, and I've read the verse many times. In fact, in Sunday school years ago, I think it was in like 2014, I taught through the book of 1 Corinthians, and I just never really captured the weight of what Paul is really saying here. Put my life under the microscope. Examine me. Observe. Because I'm following Jesus. Are we an example that's worth following? Could we say, would we be comfortable saying to someone else, hey, just follow me. Just follow me. Because I'm following Jesus. Could we say that? I notice not only would this invitation to these believers in Corinth be an invitation to observe and examine his life and his behavior, but I also believe that this invitation would serve as a reminder to the Apostle Paul. What's the reminder? People are watching me. You know how different people's behavior changes when they know that someone's observing their behavior? It's amazing. I remember the first year I was here at Fellowship Baptist Church, I went to a pastor's meeting, and I went to that particular pastor's meeting. I do not know even where it was. I just do not recall what church it was at. I didn't really know anyone in Virginia at that point, didn't know any of the pastors, and just kind of knew, and I just can't recall what meeting we were at. I don't know the fellow that was even preaching. He was actually a guest preacher. He wasn't even a pastor here in Virginia. He was just in. I don't know if he's a missionary, an evangelist, or what he was, but he was telling a story when he was preaching. preaching. He was talking about weed whacking and doing some yard work. And I don't know if you've ever had trouble with a weed whacker, but I know they sometimes can be temperamental. Amen. You ever do some weed whacking? You do the trimming, and that thing doesn't want to feed right. It wants to clog up and all sorts of things, and it can really get on your nerves. And so he's in the backyard, and he's telling this story as he's preaching. He's in the backyard, and I heard him tell it. We were all laughing. It was hilarious. He didn't think it was very funny, but he's out there, and he's weed whacking, and that thing was just giving a hard time, and it was just being temperamental. And so he got frustrated, and he took that thing, and he slammed it on the ground, and he threw it all the way to the other side of the yard. Get that frustration out. And he went over there, and he picked it up, and you know what he did? He threw it again. I mean, he's really getting his frustration out. Now, he's telling the story. I mean, he's just telling all of us about his lack of control. He's telling us all about it, and he gets that thing, and now, can you imagine in your mind's eye seeing somebody out back, and they're just tossing this weed whacker, and they go over there, and they grab it, and they slam it, and they throw it again, and then they walk over there, and he threw it about three times. And I mean, he's just mad. And he looked up, and about the time he looked up, his wife was looking out the window. Now that's unsettling. And he says, "Honey, how long you been standing there?" She said, "I saw the whole thing." Can I tell you, people are watching us, whether we know it or not. And for Paul to say to these people, these believers, this church in Corinth, "Follow me," not only was it an invitation to those believers to observe him, but I think it served as a reminder for the Apostle Paul. People are watching. People are observing. And what would happen if in your sphere of influence, what would happen if everyone followed your example? It's a thought that is, in my mind, a really soul-searching, thought-provoking kind of a statement. Paul says, "Follow me." If they follow your example, if they follow my example, if they follow the example of the Apostle Paul, will they lead a life that is pleasing in God's sight? Because ultimately, that's the goal, that we'd please God. Look at Philippians chapter 4, if you will. And we'll close with this portion of Scripture in Philippians chapter number 4. But as we look here and we begin to think about the believers in Philippi, this church here, and of course the Apostle Paul, where it all started, if you begin to think about the text of Scripture back in the book of Acts and during the second missionary journey, and you read in Acts 16 and all that transpired, and now the Apostle Paul, if you can kind of think about the timeline, it's, I don't know, about 12 years later that Paul's writing this particular letter back to the church at Philippi. And while he was there that evening, and after he'd suffered so many awful things and there in Philippi on that first visit, really he left them a good example, did he not? The Bible says that he was thrown in the inner prison. The Bible tells us that he was singing and praising God. And I mean, he's just a man that left a good example in a very difficult circumstance. And we find that he's writing now to this church, and he talks to them, he encourages them on the subject of rejoicing. In fact, as we look at chapter number 4, we're familiar with verse number 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." Yeah, but Paul, when you suffered, no, Paul did rejoice when he suffered. See, he had left them an example. And one of the things that's really fascinating to me about the life of the Apostle Paul, he's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, he refers to himself as being the chief of sinners. But I want you to understand that Paul tells churches and he tells individuals regularly to thank God. And you know what you find in his life? He thanks the Lord. He tells them to praise, and he's a praising individual. He tells them to pray, but he also tells them how he's praying for them. And he gives an example. He doesn't just simply say, "Do, but don't look at what I'm doing." No, he's living the example. He's an example that is worth following. And that's why we can read, as he says, "There be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And we find here in Philippians chapter number 4, I want to draw your attention to verse number 9. Paul says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard," and then notice those next words, "and seen in me." And then he simply says this, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. You know, what a blessing when you have an individual that the message of their lips and the message of their life are consistent. And Paul says the things that, those things which you have both learned and received and heard, but he says, and seen in me. See, Paul was aware of the fact, whether he specifically, as he did to the church in Corinth, said, follow me, or if he just understood human nature, that people were observing his behavior. And he says to them, the things that not only you've learned through my instruction verbally, but the things that you've learned through my instruction as I've lived it out, as you have seen in me, do. This evening, I hope that each of us, as we'd examine our lives, could say to others, those that God's called us to influence, follow me. Follow me. Now, obviously, the goal is that people would follow Jesus. But you know, God's left us here as individuals, as we walk with God, to show them the example. See, Jesus left us an example that we should follow his steps, and we study the Word of God. But you know, it's important when people see that in spiritual leaders that are following the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul was an example worth following. And I would say this, for each of us this evening, we need to be examples worth following. Would we be pleased or be embarrassed if our example was followed, if our behavior was followed? I was in a situation a number of years ago, a setting, and I won't give you the details, but it was a number of years ago. It was before I was ever the pastor here of the church, and at a particular gathering, and there's this little young child that was behaving in a certain way. And everyone in the room knew that the child was behaving in the way that they were because that was behavior that they'd observed. And it was so embarrassing to the parents. I mean, it was almost like they wanted to crawl under the carpet, crawl behind. I mean, they wanted to just get out of there. And it was embarrassing to them. And I've seen those types of things. And simply what I'm saying this evening is that we want to be that example that's worth following. Why are you doing that? See, back in my era, Michael Jordan was, you know, the basketball guy. And it is amazing how many people said, I want to be like Mike. And they wanted to imitate. They wanted to imitate his example. They would try to study and learn and all of these things. Listen, we want to be like Jesus because Christians are to be followers of Jesus. And would God help us tonight to set an example that's worth following? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for your provision, giving us a Bible, for the Holy Spirit of God who indwells us, that enables us to live a life of obedience. God, we know that without you, we're nothing. Without you, we can do nothing. But God, I pray that you'd help us to live a life that's pleasing in your sight. Would you help us to be keenly aware of the fact tonight that we're being observed? God, I pray that you'd help us to be an example that's worth following. We understand that there's young people that are looking for an example. They're looking for somebody that would exemplify what it is to be a Christian, to be a man or a lady that follows you, Lord. And I pray that you'd help us to be that type of an example, that we could say the things that not only you've heard, the things that you've seen in me, do. I pray, Lord, that in the moments of invitation, as we examine our own hearts and lives, would you help us, Lord, to determine that as we move forward, that by your grace and with your help, that you would enable us to be an example worth following. Well, thank you for all that you'll do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with me, heads are bowed, eyes are closed.